Do you want to be better in business or life? Do you want to be able to execute and succeed? You must have a positive mindset. You must believe and stay focused. Do you know what it takes? It takes fuel. Welcome to Fuel Your Drive. All right, guys, welcome to Fuel Your Drive. I'm your host, Josh York. And guys, let me tell you, today we have an amazing guest. Like, I'm really super fired up. Like, I know you know I'm always fired up, but I'm like really fired up. So we have a health and fitness expert, okay? And this person is a New York Times bestselling author, runs a great successful podcast, and he actually went on a journey with a client. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He went on an actual journey with a client. So what do I mean by this? This man gained 75 pounds to become overweight fat and then lost it all and became fit again. You hear what I'm saying? He went from fit to fat to fit. I love it. Guys, welcome my man, Drew Manning. Drew, welcome to the show, bud.
Josh, it's a pleasure to be here, man. Love your energy and thank you for having me on.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's a pleasure to have you, man. So listen, right now, let's just first get into one thing, you know, because I already know your mindset. And that's why I have you on here, because you got the right mindset, because to do what you did, most people will never do. But let's just talk about the current situation, because I have my thoughts on it. We're in a pandemic, right? You know, I always say you could always find light in the dark, but most people don't search for it. What are your thoughts of what's going on? Because, you know, people need to hear, definitely from a positive mindset, you know, your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks for letting me share. You know, it's interesting times we live in. We've never been through, like, our generation has never experienced something like this, right? Yep. So it's very new. And I think for me, to be honest with you, I underestimated how stressful it would be, even though I work from home already. But being a dad and also being a teacher to my kids and trying to run a successful business, like, and balance all of those is really, really hard. But as far as, like, what's going on in the world, I take everything with a grain of salt. So I'm not, you know, super opinionated on one end or the other. I see both sides of it. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, either we did too much or we do too little. And the critics are always going to come out and be like, oh, you didn't do enough. Or, hey, we did too much and we got to go back. And so I think, you know, no matter what, it's a lose-lose situation. My hope is that, look, we find a vaccine. We take care of our health. Hopefully this is a wake-up call for people out there to realize how important it is to take care of their health, because the people that are dying aren't the healthy people like you and me, or it's mostly people with underlying issues. So, man, take care of yourself as much as possible. And I'm more of a positive mindset. Like, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the panic that the news puts out there, I don't consume. I'll maybe see 5 minutes of it and be like, okay, I can either stay trapped in that fear and that panic, or I could do the best I can and control what I can control. And that's my happiness, the things I can do every single day. And yeah, things were taken away, like we mentioned before this, the gym. Like, that was our therapy, right? And now without that therapy, what are we going to do? So what I found myself doing is, and that sounds weird, but yoga and walking. And I still do some, you know, kick-ass workouts from home. It's not the same, but it's doable. It'll get me through this. Yep, so that's my 2 cents.
Listen, I love those 2 cents first. So I think it's more than 2 cents. So I think it's really good. I think it's great. And people need to listen. Look, misery loves company. Negativity feeds negativity. And if you're not positive all day, every day, you're not going anywhere in life. I talk about this all the time. And you need to really understand and listen to this and listen to what Drew's saying, because it's true. You can't consume that type of stuff. If you tell yourself you're a loser every single day, well, guess what? You're going to be a loser. You know, but if you want to be a winner, you consume that resilient mindset every single day. Now, let's get into Drew's mind, because I'm really excited to get into his mind. So talk to me about this story. Like, what made you make the decision to say, because honestly, between you and I wouldn't be able to do it. I love being in crazy shape. I'm a lunatic, man. So how, like, walk me through that. Like, I need to understand.
Sure.
You know, and I really do appreciate what you did. It's like very special, and it means a lot to me, because it's like you wanted to do it with them, which is really cool. But let's talk through that.
Yeah. So you got to understand a little bit about my backstory. I grew up in a family of 11 brothers and sisters, and I played sports from a very young age. Yeah. Football and wrestling were my life as a kid. And so I've never experienced what it's like to be overweight. And in 2009, I became a trainer trying to help people, you know, lose weight. And here I was, someone who had never been overweight a day in my life, trying to help clients that were overweight. And in my mind, it was so easy. Look, here's your meal plans. Here's your workouts. You do it. You put down the junk food. You go to the gym. Yep. It's not that hard. And then they would tell me, oh, Drew, it's, you know, I messed up this weekend. I didn't follow the meal plan, or I was sore and I didn't go to the gym. I'm like, why aren't you doing it? Like, it's not that hard. You just do it, you know? And so one of my clients who was my he was my brother-in-law at the time. He said to me, he's like, Drew, you don't understand what it's like. For you, it's always been easy. And for us, it's always been hard. And you just don't understand that. And I kind of took that to heart. So it was weird. I was just thinking of ideas after he said that. How can I gain a better understanding? And this idea of Fit to Fed to Fit just popped up in my head. What if you got fat on purpose and documented the whole thing? It might give you better understanding. And, you know, I think it would be pretty entertaining for people to watch this experiment of this journey of gaining weight and then losing weight. And from there, the minute it entered my mind, I knew that it was could be a good idea. I didn't know what would happen. I didn't know we'd be here 9 years later still talking about this. Actually, tomorrow, May 7th, 2011, is the 9th anniversary of the day I started.
That's great. Oh, it's crazy. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah, that was the you know, the idea behind the idea of why I got started doing this Fit, Fat, Fit journey.
Love it, man. That's really special. And, you know, not too many people out there like you. So that's really a special thing now. So now, like, let's get into it actually. Like, yeah. So what was it like, right? Because, you know, I can only imagine you get to a certain point and you're just kind of like, holy crap, this is actually really, really hard.
Yeah. So here's the thing. The idea was 6 months. I couldn't exercise. I could eat whatever I wanted to. And actually, I remember watching Morgan Spurlock in the documentary Supersize Me, where he ate McDonald's. What I wanted to do was focus on not so much fast food, because I think most people know fast food is unhealthy, but everyday American foods that we grew up on in the 70s and 80s, that type of food that America is obsessed with, and I'll explain what that food is, but I wanted to focus on that type of food specifically. And so those were the rules. 6 months, no exercise, eat, you know, whatever I wanted to. And then the next 6 months, I walked the walk and put my money where my mouth is and show people how to lose the weight. So I'll be honest, the first month or so was kind of fun. It really was. It was like, you know, the idea of freedom is we think it's, oh, being able to do what you want when you want. So not having to go to the gym, skipping the produce section in the grocery store, going down the cereal aisle, the cookie aisle, the candy aisle, and just stocking up on all these foods that we have here in America. And it's crazy the abundance of foods we have. Why do we need hundreds of flavors of cereal? I don't know. Why do we need to have that many flavors? I don't know why, but it exists. And it was fun. I'll be totally honest with you. It was fun for a little bit until about, I would say, a month in, I started snoring, which affected my sleep. And you know, if your sleep is affected, you're a different person. So your personality changes, your energy levels change, your hormones change. And then huffing and puffing, walking up the stairs, having to hold my breath, bending over to tie my shoes. I've never experienced that before.
Wow.
The man boobs started to grow. The love handles were, you know, hanging over my my pants. And it became very uncomfortable very quick. And that's when I realized, wow, I still have 5 months left to go. How am I going to get through this? And the other part of this that I talk about in my book, Fit to Fat to Fit, is the mental and emotional aspect. So here's the thing. My identity was based on my body. My identity was Drew the Fit Guy my whole life. That's what I was. And now, even like 20 pounds heavier after the first month, I was freaking out because I didn't know who I was without being Drew the Fit Guy. So going out in public was really hard for me because I wanted to go up to strangers and explain to them like, hey, you know I look a little bit overweight, but I'm not normally overweight. This is my website. This is just an experiment. Here's my before picture. Go take a look at this. This is who I really am. So don't judge me. I was so uncomfortable in my own skin because I lost my identity in a sense going through this experiment. And that's where it became very humbling and very hard on the mental and emotional side. Physically, I knew I was going to get fat. I knew I was going to, you know, get the man boobs, but I wasn't prepared for how it was going to affect me mentally and emotionally. And the other part of it was, you know, I mentioned the food. Let me give you a typical day of what I ate because this kind of blows people's minds. So, you know, I remember as a kid in the 80s, we saw TV commercials of a complete American breakfast. And that was a bowl of cereal, a glass of juice, and a piece of toast. Like, that's what we were programmed to think was a typical American breakfast. So I had Cinnamon Toast Crunch for breakfast, a huge bowl, a glass of juice. And then a couple hours later, it was snack time between breakfast and lunch, of course. So I would do a couple granola bars and a Mountain Dew. And then for lunch, I would have, you know, it was a typical American lunch, maybe like a few peanut butter sandwiches or, you know, ham and cheese sandwiches, whatever, on white bread. And then between lunch and dinner, there's another snack programmed in there. So that's a bag of chips and another Mountain Dew. And then at dinner time, white pasta, marinara sauce, meatballs, And then another, right before you go to bed, you know, you got to eat something sweet. So either a cookie or an ice cream, some ice cream, or if I was really lazy, I would do another bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And that was a typical day of what I ate. And people reach out to me, were like, Drew, dude, you eat exactly how I eat. Like, those foods that you're eating are the foods that most of Americans eat. Why? Because they're cheap, right? They're cheaper than real food. That's the problem in America. We have it backwards. We have the cheapest food that tastes the best, right? They taste really good. I'm not going to lie. I love the food that, like, those foods that I just mentioned, because it tastes really good. It makes you feel good temporarily. And they're super convenient, right? Yep. Fast food, these types of processed foods, they're ready to go. You don't need to cook it up. And so that's kind of what I ate. That's how I gained the 75 pounds in 6 months. And that's also why I see other people struggling, is because it's an uphill battle with the way society has made it.
Yep. Yep. Listen, I see it every day. I watch it every day. You know, it's funny when, you know, I really relate to what you're saying, because it's like, when that's all you know, and you don't really jump into that different environment, like, I can only imagine how chat, like, honestly, I wouldn't be able to do it. Like, you know, I got a lot of respect for you. I admire what you did, because it's like, I'd look in the mirror and have a heart attack, you know? Yeah. So you gotta be, you know, you talk about mindset, you gotta be really strong. So now let's fast forward. You hit your 6 months, right?
Yep.
Now what? Right. So what were you looking like? What happened? And like, how did everything change? And was it even easy to change? Because I'm sure it wasn't, because you probably got so used to some of this stuff, you probably got a little lazy. So, like, walk me through that.
Yeah, so I went from 193 pounds, about 8.5% body fat, to 269 pounds, 32% body fat. So I was scared to death, because I only planned to gain 50, maybe 60 max, but gaining 75 pounds in 6 months, I kind of overachieved, unfortunately. And I had my doubts. I remember I was on Dr. Oz, and he's like, do you really think you can do this? And I'm like, I really hope so, because if I get stuck like this, this will suck. So I had my doubts. I've never had to lose 75 pounds before. And so here's the interesting thing. When I transitioned, I had to do it cold turkey. So I went from eating 5,000, 6,000 calories a day of, like, Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Mountain Dew and mac and cheese and Hot Pockets and SpaghettiOs, to all of a sudden 2,000 calories, which isn't a very low amount. That's not like starvation. 2,000 calories is a good amount of food, of real whole food. And those first 2 weeks sucked really bad. And I've never experienced food addiction or withdrawals from any kind of addiction. My eyes were opened, because during those 2 weeks, it was so humbling. It was so hard, because my body was like fighting back, and my body wanted the high that it got from those foods the past 6 months. And I wasn't giving it those foods. I was giving it broccoli and chicken and all these healthy foods we know we're supposed to eat, but I didn't feel good right away. And so it occurred to me, and that's where the light bulb went off in my head. This is what my clients have been telling me. When I give them a meal plan, expect them to be perfect with it, their bodies fight back, because they've been so accustomed to it. It's like going up to a drug addict and say, hey, just stop doing drugs. It's not that hard. What's wrong with you? Yep. Food addiction is real. And I didn't realize it. I just thought, come on, you guys just lack willpower. Just do it. It's not that hard. Until I lived it for 6 months and tried to go off of it, it occurred to me just how powerful the emotional connection to food really is. And that's where my eyes were open. I'm like, oh man, okay. The empathy started to come from this experiment and this experience, because I was experiencing it firsthand. And then I had more empathy for my clients that were going through this change. So the first 2 weeks were hell. And then eventually I did adjust, my body adjusted, and the cravings went away for the most part. And it did become easier. It did become more manageable, but those first 2 weeks were really, really hard. And then from there, here's the other part. I had to go back into the gym, but now as an overweight person, because I skipped the gym the first 6 months. So now I had to go back, and that was really hard for me, because I was used to being the fit guy, you know, like, cut off sleeve shirts, you know, my headphones match my shoes. Like, I'm super confident in the gym. And now I was wearing like baggy t-shirts, didn't want people to see me. And it was really hard. But here's the thing I compare it to is, yes, I got back to fit, and it was one of the hardest things I went through. But I kind of compare it to, you know, all me and a lot of Instagram models, were, you know, people that are naturally fit, they're on top of this mountain. And the clients, the people that are trying to change, are at the bottom of the mountain. And from the top, it looks so easy. The path looks so easy because you've always been on top. You don't remember that climb up, or maybe you never experienced that climb up. You've always been at the top. And for me to come back down to the bottom of the mountain and look back up was a totally different perspective. And the journey up was way more humbling than I thought it would be, and a lot harder than I thought it would be, because it's not just physical. It's not just counting calories, eating less, and working out and doing the things you know you're supposed to do, because it's such a mental and emotional journey on the way up. And that's why people fall down, is because of these emotional challenges. They don't know how to live it as a lifestyle change like the people at the top do. And that's why they keep stumbling back down. And so for me, it was a really eye-opening experience, really humbling experience. And yes, I got back to fit, but with a whole new perspective and more empathy.
That's fantastic. So, and now what I really love about it is you took the opportunity to actually create a business, monetize on it. So why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because, you know, I always say you got a TA, 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 take action. Most people don't take action, and people say, oh, well, this could work. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Or see, I can't stand that. And the worst thing I hate, Drew, is when someone says, oh, I tried it twice or three times, it doesn't work. No, you didn't try it enough. You didn't stay consistent enough, you know, and that's why it didn't work. So you actually now jumped on board, monetized on this, and created a mothership of a business, which I'm impressed with because I'm all about business. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks, man. And I appreciate you letting me talk about this. I really don't tell a lot of people about this side of the story, the business side of it. So you got to understand, I was a part-time personal trainer going into this. I stopped taking on clients during my journey, but I had a full-time job in the medical field. So I had an income coming in. But then when I got a book deal, my first book deal to write my book, that's when I jumped ship and I made that leap of faith from being a corporate guy to being an entrepreneur. That was really scary for me because I didn't envision Fit to Fit becoming this big thing. You know, here we are talking about it 9 years later. It's this business now that I've been fortunate enough to monetize. But in the beginning, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I didn't have connections on the media. I didn't have a marketing strategy. I just winged it, you know, to be totally honest with you, and got very, very lucky. And people think, oh, you're a New York Times bestseller. You have two seasons of a TV show. You're a millionaire. Like, I wish that were true, but that's not how it works in the real world. You ask any author out there, just because they're a New York Times bestseller doesn't mean they become this status level. But anyways, so it's been a journey over the years of learning how to make this into a business, how to make this into a career of mine. And in the beginning, I didn't know what I was doing. So I just took on sponsorship deals from companies. They'd be like, oh, we want to sponsor you. You're the Fit to Fit guy. And that worked for a few years until it didn't, until, you know, the value ran out and people are like, okay, what's the next best thing? And then I had a rock bottom moment in about 2015, 2016-ish, in that area where I was going through a divorce. I'd been married for 10 years. We had two kids. And at the same time, my financial situation was pretty rock bottom. And like I said, I don't tell a lot of people about this, but it was in that moment when I was at rock bottom that I really discovered who I truly was. And when I discovered who I truly was, which took years, it didn't happen overnight. I went to counseling, therapy, started reading books, podcasts, started meditating, doing all these things that I wasn't used to doing, but I had to rediscover who I was. I felt like I had this resurgence of myself, but also my business to a whole new level, to where I was struggling, you know, in the five-figure, maybe six-figure range if I was lucky 1 year, to all of a sudden seven figures 1 year, and then we hit eight figures the next year. But it really took that self-discovery journey, which took a couple years, to really take my brand to the next level. And I think a lot of people miss that, where they think, oh, you know, I should be at this level, but they're not really their true authentic self as when they show up. And what that does is it creates a lack of relatability to their audience. Like, you just seem as like a robot, or you're non-human. So it's being able to connect with your audience and being authentic and vulnerable with them and owning your story that really is part of like the human connection. Like, that person, I relate to them so much because they're honest, they're vulnerable, they've talked about their weaknesses, and they've also helped so many people overcome those things. And so that's kind of where I was coming from. And that's really how it affected my business, where I've been able to monetize it and build a brand of where it's at today.
Love it, Drew. I love it, man. And, you know, something I always talk about is this too shall pass. And that applies to success. And that also applies to failure. It applies to both. The difference is, though, how people actually are able to actually handle it and maneuver it, you know. And it seems like you've been through some tough times, which I'm sorry to hear, but, you know, I'm not too worried about you. I know you got the right mindset and you got the right drive, and obviously the proof's in the pudding now. But so here you are now, you monetize on this business. Like, what's the next step now? What are you currently doing? What's plans in the future? Like, talk through a little bit of that, because I'm sure people are interested.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for letting me talk about that. Let me summarize kind of where I've been, where I'm at now. So I wrote my first book, Fit to Right to Fit, which became a New York Times bestseller. And then I had two seasons of a TV show, which was sold to A&E, and where we put other trainers through this process. So we made other trainers get fat and then lose the weight with their clients as an experiment. And then from there, I kind of got into the keto world. So I'm a big fan of the ketogenic diet. I started doing some research and having some guests on my podcast. And then from there, I got connected to Dr. Oz again, where he had me on a second time. And then that's where I wrote my next book, Complete Keto, which is out now. It's been out for a little over a year. And I sell a lot of digital keto content. So keto programs, keto cookbooks. And then I have my own keto supplement line as well. And so that's kind of where we're at currently. What I'm working on now, I can't really dive into specifics just yet, but just know that 2020 is going to be a very interesting year. Even though it's been crazy for all of us, you know, we've been through some hell like in 2020. I think we all got blindsided. Like the universe just was like slapped us, you know, punched us from behind, like a nice cheap shot. And so anyways, I got some really cool things coming up in 2020 that I can't really discuss yet because it's not set in stone. But once I do, you might want to have me back on just because it'll be worth sharing.
Listen, I'm down for that, man. I'm down for that. Now, always the way I like to really wrap this up is, you know, if you were obviously doing this interview, what question would you have asked yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. I think you kind of alluded to it. And that was when I mentioned the connection between the physical success, but also the mental and emotional work that needs to happen. So you kind of allowed me to talk about that, connecting those dots, that correlation between the physical side, but the mental, emotional, spiritual can't be overlooked either. Like you could try your best to get ripped and get shredded thinking that'll bring you happiness. But I promise you, I know a lot of people with 5% body fat that are still miserable, that still hate who they are because they haven't done the work on the mental, emotional, spiritual side. And I know a lot of people who are super spiritual that focus on this, that just don't take care of their bodies. And there's this disconnect there. And so once you see the correlation between, okay, now I have all those pillars, you know, the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, like taking care of all of them, that's where fulfillment comes in. So that's kind of, I don't know if that answered your question, but yeah, hopefully, yep.
No, it did. Hopefully it did.
That answers it.
No, absolutely. It's like you build a house, right?
Yeah.
And you forget to put a beam in. Is the house going to last? Like, or you say, you know what? I'm going to put the beam in, but I'm not going to install any water in the house. So there'll be no water in the house. Or you say, you know what? I'll put the water in. Maybe I'll put the beam in, but you know what? It's going to be no electricity. Can you make it work? Of course you can, but you really need everything together. You got to put everything together in the house properly so you can operate it at a normal level. So
yeah.
Listen, Drew, it was a pleasure having you on here. You know, anything, any other positivity information that you want to put out there, let my listeners hear that they could just, you know, be like, wow, this, you know, everyone knows you're a spectacular dude already, but is there anything else you could put out there just to drive some more positivity? Cause people could always use it.
Yeah. Thanks, brother. Here's two things that I've learned over the years is one is when you operate out of a place of self-hate versus self-love, your life totally shifts. The first half of my life or the first 30 plus years of my life, I operated out of a place of self-hate, thinking if I just beat myself up more, discipline myself more, I'll reach the perfection level and all the success will come. The problem with that is that it never works out that way in the long run. We think that's the way we've been taught, the way we've been programmed by society to think and operate. But when you start operating out of a place of self-love, which takes time, trust me, it takes a long time to develop self-love. Your whole relationship with yourself and other people's change, and your relationship with your business changes, and your relationship with your community. If you're an influencer, if you're a leader out there, a coach of some type, your whole relationship changes when you operate out of a place of self-love versus self-hate. I will say this though, there is something to be said about discipline and still pushing yourself hard. Like I love David Goggins' mentality and Jocko Willink, these guys that just have this, that are badasses, that have this natural discipline. But I think there is something to be said for also self-love and being forgiving of yourself, because if you don't, then you'll just be at war with yourself your whole life.
Yep. Those guys never met me, just so you know. They never met me. Yeah, never met me. But anyway, listen, tell everyone where they can find you, Drew.
Yeah, man. It's super simple. Fit, number two, fat, number two, fit. That's all my social media handles, my website, my podcast, my book. And just go to fitfatfit.com. It's super simple.
Perfect. Drew, thank you so much for coming on the show. Guys, until next time, take care. See ya.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast, Fuel Your Drive. Please be sure to subscribe and leave a review. I'd really appreciate it. And also, make sure you follow Gym Guys on Instagram. And of course, myself, Josh York GG. We're going to change the world. And we want to help you along the journey.